Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning, less than a week away from the Derby, and we'll have some Derby conversation this morning, direct from Churchill Downs, in fact, from Louisville. In a moment, we'll be joined by Kevin Kirstein from Churchill Downs, and we'll get some of his thoughts on some of the morning activity over the past week or so. A little bit later, we'll also get some morning thoughts from Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum, so hopefully we'll get some good insights into how these contenders are coming into the Derby. We'll also be joined a little bit later by our friend Tony Kahlo from the Finger Lakes. We'll get a little preview on their early week action out in mid-state New York. So all of that coming up on this edition of Racing Across America. Thanks for tuning in. And as I noted, we'll kick things off. Kevin Kirstein from Churchill Downs. We'll talk a little Churchill and the spring meet in general, which kicked off last night, but more specifically, the Derby coming up in a week. And I know looking at Kevin's Twitter feed, he's been out there in the mornings, and so we'll get some of the thoughts on what he's seen there. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you on board. And I will note, I was watching the action from Churchill last night, opening night. It looked like a pretty nice crowd out there and a pretty good kickoff to the spring meet.
Yeah, you know, last night kicked off the 44-day spring meet with opening night. It's always a fun start to Derby week because, really, you know, in and of itself here in the Louisville community, the Derby celebration really lasts for almost the entire month of April with the Kentucky Derby Festival, and there's so many different events going around the city. And then, you know, Kentucky Derby week, even though it's on a Saturday, unofficially kicked off last night with opening night of the meet. It was good racing last night. Frank's Rockette returned in the Rock Famana. She's definitely in some of the best form of her life, so that was cool to see her come back last night here at Churchill Downs. I think bigger and brighter things are in her future, but, you know, it's Derby season here in the Ville, and, you know, opening night, you know, always a little bit more difficult for racetrackers when you wake up in the morning and start so late, but really it's a 24-hour-a-day, you know, 24/7 deal the next couple of days here at Churchill Downs because there's so much action going on between the mornings and the afternoon. That's what makes Derby week so special.
Yeah, I had Joe Kristofic on yesterday, and he said little sleep over the next 7 days. And so I wish you guys the best, but I'm also envious. It's got to be a lot of fun. And yeah, in my lifetime, you know, it went back. The Derby was the big day, and then Oaks became a really big day. And now the whole week, and you have Thurby, and salute to the locals. And as I say, last night looked like a lot of fun down there. And I will say, Frank's Rockette had to work for that win, but it's great to see her back as a six-year-old.
Yeah, you know, it's so awesome to see the job that Bill Mott does with some of these older horses. You know, you look at Elite Power, for instance, and, you know, and Frank's Rockette for last night. You know, he sort of develops these horses. Steve Asmus is another, you know, fellow Hall of Fame trainer that does such a good job developing horses that don't necessarily just peak at two or peak at three. He's developing them for their older campaigns. And Frank's Rockette, you know, she tried, you know, to go for the Gusto and the Breeders' Cup last year, and talking to Bill Mott last night, it almost seems like he sort of just wants to keep her confidence in check, and then, you know, a grade one could be in her future. She sort of was between running here or running in the Derby City Distaff next week, and she was sort of ducking a bigger horse named Goodnight Olive in that race and didn't want to go up against her. So that's why she showed up last night, and I do think that she has a bright future ahead of her, and probably another shot at some great stakes company.
Yeah, it was a fun little feature last night. Certainly exciting, very exciting. As I said, I pulled up your Twitter feed in prep for this and pulled up some video, some of the works, and we'll get some thoughts on that. But one of the things I looked at, talking about the little sleep, you had a nice shot yesterday, kind of a little pan shot of early morning at Churchill. What time have you been arriving? Because it was mostly dark.
Yeah, you know, yesterday is my longest day of the year. And, you know, I know, you know, Joe has talked on the show before, as you mentioned, but you know, we wouldn't have it any other way as both, you know, fans of the sport of horse racing and then being fortunate enough here to work for the Kentucky Derby in Churchill Downs. So yesterday was a 3:30 a.m. arrival, and I got home last night around 12:15 a.m., and my wife wanted to kill me. But, yeah, that was from before the track lights opened. It's so cool, and one of my favorite things to do, Seth, in the morning is, you know, go up into the grandstand, and you sit in the grandstand, and especially this upcoming week, and so there's no one in the grandstand. And so you sit there, the track lights are completely, you know, off, and you just think, in a week's time, there's going to be 170,000 screaming fans right where you are right now, and it's just you sitting in those stands. And it's really a special feeling, and then the track lights come on, and the horses are coming on the track, and so it's one of my favorite things to do, just to really get amped up on, you know, an official start of 7 days out into the Kentucky Derby yesterday.
Yeah, we showed the shot just a moment ago, and it was a really nice picture of the track with really the lights of Louisville in the background were the only thing kind of illuminating. But I can imagine the feeling. And also, before we get to the Derby contenders, I wanted to talk about, I pulled up one more video from your Twitter feed. Dwayne Lucas on horseback, and you said, you know it's Derby week if Wayne Lucas is in town. And the amazing thing is, 87 years old, still training, but he's still on horseback, kind of ponying his horses out there and coming off a pretty good Oaklawn meet.
Yeah, it's Wayne is, after Travis Stone gave the iconic call last year with Secret Oath and the Oaks, Wayne can still train. I mean, he's coming in with an arsenal, I think, you know, his best in the more recent years between Last Samurai and Secret Oath, and Secret Oath is running back here next week, which will be really exciting to see her. She's, you know, that was the first I saw her, and I got the video of Wayne, and then, you know, the next horse coming down the track was Secret Oath, and that was the first I've seen her since she's arrived back from Oaklawn, and she just looked absolutely phenomenal. We had Wayne and Todd Pletcher on our podcast. Aaron Rodgers and I do a podcast called Inside the Kentucky Derby, and we had Wayne and Todd both in our office telling stories, and you can just tell that Wayne, I was a little bit worried about Wayne for a couple of years there, especially during those COVID years.
Yeah.
But Wayne has really found a new stride, and he's back in town, back with a vengeance. He said he's got some two-year-olds that are ready to come into the barn. They're in, said some of the best two-year-old class that he's come with in a long time, plus some of his top older horses that he has right now. So I think at 87 years old, Wayne Lucas is having another rejuvenation of his long and storied career.
Just incredible. And I was lucky enough to have him sit in with me up on the backstretch at Saratoga when we were up there. Doing the show during the season last year, and that was a lot of fun. It was really a highlight, certainly, of the season, but it's great to see him, as I say, out there. And he has Last Samurai, who raced so well done at Oaklawn this year. Going to be fun to watch him through the remainder of the year as well, and hopefully we get him back up here at Saratoga. Let's talk about some of the works. Pulled up some of the videos that you shot and get some of your thoughts from what we saw in the morning. And we'll start right out with the horse that is going to attract all the attention, Forte. He's going to be on the outside here when we look at this workout. Give us some of your thoughts the morning, yesterday morning for Forte.
You know, Forte is not the most flashy type of workhorse, and that's what I've sort of noticed in his couple of works that he's had locally here at Churchill. He worked with a horse named Bright Future. They just went an easy half mile. Last week, he went 5/8 and 102, and on the gallop out of that work yesterday with Bright Future, he went 102 and 3. So it's more or less a maintenance type of work. You know, talking with Todd, he said, you know, Forte showed so much positive form at the age of 2, and it's really just sort of maintaining that fitness. He's already fit. He doesn't really need to do anything extra to get him fit, and so that's why I think he's not really showing that much in the mornings, just because he's already fit and already ready to go. And when I saw him down in Florida for the Florida Derby, you know, he was not the best acting horse in the world, especially in the paddock. When he was coming into the paddock for the Florida Derby and then out on the racetrack, he got a little warm, and he wasn't the best looking horse, in my opinion, in the world. And he still got the job done. And when I saw him 2 weeks later when he shipped into Churchill, it looked like he filled out a lot from that Florida Derby. And so, you know, you can tell a little bit on the work that, you know, he's he gets over the ground well. He wasn't doing anything flashy in those moves, as I'm sure Mike will tell you in the next segment on the show. But he definitely looks a lot bigger and stronger than what I saw him just, you know, a few weeks ago down in Florida at the Florida Derby.
this next one I'm interested because I got a little Angel of Empire in a future pool. I've mentioned people at the show are probably tired. I keep mentioning it, but happy to have. I liked him in the last couple of races. I think thought he ran very well. We'll watch him. It'll be Angel of Empire on the outside of Jace's Road. You noted in your tweet 101.40 for Angel of Empire. Give us your thoughts on that one and Jace's Road.
Yeah, you know, these two have worked together. This wasn't the first time they've worked together. Brad sort of paired them both together. They actually share common ownership in the Abal family stable. West Point also has a portion of Jace's Road. And Angel of Empire was ridden last week in his work by Flavian Pratt. Chris Landeros filled in for Flavian, who had other riding assignments yesterday, so he wasn't able to make the work. And I talked to Chris. Chris said, this horse has so many gears, and so my video cuts out because there were, you know, 11 other horses that were working right sort of behind him. So I didn't get that full gallop out, but on the gallop out, he was very impressive. And I like to do a thing where I rank the top 20 horses in the Derby on just simply visual impressiveness in their last race. And he was number one for me. He really impressed me in the Arkansas Derby with, you know, sort of that turn of foot that Chris alluded to me yesterday, just in the work. They didn't want to do anything flashy in the work. You know, he's already ready to run. And Chris sat him just off of Jace's Road and really on the gallop out, he said, on the backside. He just felt like he had so many more gears beneath him. So I think he's going to be in this year's Kentucky Derby with a big chance. And as a fellow PA bred, it's hard not to root for a PA bred horse, especially in the Kentucky Derby.
One more that's going to attract some attention, certainly, just with the connections alone, Tappet Trice. And we'll take a look at Tappet Trice's workout. He's going to be on the outside here. And again, it's a Todd Pletcher trainee coming in the right way. So certainly there'll be a little buzz about this one as people head up to the betting windows. What did you think when you looked at Tappet Trice?
You know, just as a looker, I think he is one of the best looking gallopers just in general over the track. I think he's just, you know, a picture of motion when he's out on the racetrack. And he hasn't done, you know, really anything super flashy in any of his works when you go back and look at a lot of his works. And he was paired with Equivoque in yesterday's work. They went 48-1, just an easy work. And Todd said he's really only worked this horse a half mile and hasn't done more with him. And he's just sort of the same way. He said he's already fit. He doesn't want him to be over the top. He does a lot in his training in the mornings. He went 5/8 in a minute and 3 yesterday in that gallop out. And he's one that, you know, I think is, you know, probably going to be second choice in the Derby. I talked to Mike Battaglia the other day, and he's still, you know, playing around with some of the odds, so he doesn't really have the official morning line yet. But I think Tappet Trice will be a deserved second choice. And, you know, the one thing that I keep going in the back of my mind, and people, you know, have talked for a while, that Tappet Trice may just be the Belmont horse. And now I think, you know, he has a lot of talent that people are going to bet him in the Kentucky Derby. But the backers of Tappet Trice, I just wonder if they're going to be kicking themselves on Saturday night at 7:15 and said, man, we should have listened to ourselves. He's really the Belmont horse because he has that long, sustained run in his races. And it's just, I think the post position draw and just the early flow of this race is going to have a big tale of Tappet Trice's success in the Derby. He has all the talent in the world, but it may just be, you know, the mile and a quarter, 20 horses in the Derby, just a little bit too much for him to handle just with the way that his running style is.
Well, by Tappet, a lot of people are looking at this horse as the potential Derby horse for them. But we all know, and you know it being down there better than anyone, the siren call of the Kentucky Derby, which I completely understand. You have a talented three-year-old, and you want to take the shot. And this one is a very talented three-year-old. So we'll see. One of the workouts you tweeted out I found very interesting because snappy time, confidence game, 5 furlongs and 59. Give us your thoughts on that work.
You know, we always get one horse every single year that turns into the buzz horse of the Kentucky Derby, and he officially stamped his name yesterday as the buzz horse. And you even saw in some of the Vegas sports books of his price cutting in half because of that 59 work. This is a horse who doesn't really train all that often. Keith DeSormo, by design, his entire barn has 2 days out of the 7-day week that they walk. And so that's always by design. And this horse doesn't do a lot in his training. He just sort of jogs a little bit. He does some easy gallops. So he's not, you know, the typical where you always see a lot of horses go out and they gallop a mile and a half four times a week, and then they'll work, and then they'll have two easy days. it's really not like that. It's very a unique training method for confidence game. So I wasn't necessarily surprised to see him work so fast yesterday, just because he hasn't done that much. So he was pretty keyed up early. And that's interesting going into the Derby because, you know, as we saw when he won the Rebel 10 weeks ago, he sort of sat off the pace, but will he be a little bit more forward just because, you know, he doesn't do all that much in his training, or was that work beneficial to him yesterday because he was able to get the edge off a little bit? 2 weeks ago when he worked, it was actually 2.5 weeks ago, he had the most unique breeze that I've ever seen in my life at Churchill Downs, Seth, and he went 1 mile, and he went 1:38 and change, and he broke out of the starting gate, and he had a workmate to his inside of the starting gate, and around the turn, the workmate sort of pulled up, and he was only working 5/8. There was another workmate waiting for him right around the three-quarter pole. He jumped in and worked 5/8. They went 5/8 to the wire, and so it was a two-workmate drill, and it was almost a tag team, and it was one of the more unique things that I've ever seen, and then he came back yesterday with that flashy 59 work. So, you know, the 10-week layoff is a big question mark for confidence game, but I think he's getting some buzz, and I do think that he's shown enough talent in the mornings that he may be able to play a part in your supers or your super high five and blowing things up a little bit as a price in this year's Derby.
That's interesting on the unique work, because I always like that. It seems like you're kind of going old school when you do that. I mean, some trainers, you go back, and this is really going back to maybe when I first got in the game or before. Some guys would blow their horse out the morning of a race or the day before. You never see anything like that. But if it does pop up, if something unusual does pop up, I always take notes. So that's interesting. Before we let you go, just want to, going back to Thursday, some thoughts on a couple of Oaks workers. And I think wet paint is really going to take a lot of action in the Oaks. Wet paint and the Alice look we're working on Thursday. We'll take a look at that. Give us some of your thoughts on the Oaks workers.
Yeah, you know, I think wet paint is going to be the morning line favorite in this year's Oaks. And, you know, I think this is one of the more wide-open Longines Kentucky Oaks that I've had. This is my 11th year working here at Churchill, and I think, you know, just overall it's one of the more wide-open Oaks that I've seen in my tenure. And so she's a very, very talented horse for Brad Cox, and she sort of runs to how she works. She, you know, sort of, you know, runs in a little bit of spots, but that's why she sort of wears blinkers to get her more focused in her work. She started just off the Alice look in that work, and she did everything the right way. Flavian Pratt's going to have the mount in the Oaks, and she enters this year's field as the deserving favorite in the Oaks. But, you know, as a favorite in this year's Oaks, you sort of have to think to yourself, as wide open as it can be, I could probably make a case for 10 fillies in this race. Are you willing to take, you know, the shorter price that she will probably offer on the first Friday in May compared to a lot of these other fillies that will be in this race?
Yeah, it's a great couple of days of racing, obviously Oaks Day and Derby Day, but as I said, the whole week leading up to it is going to be a lot of fun too. And as I said to Joe, Kev, get some sleep. When you can squeeze some sleep in, do it. But we wish you a lot of good luck and a lot of fun. We talked yesterday about the improvements. I saw Darren Rogers on TV last night talking a little bit the new grandstand and working on the paddock and whatnot, and the turf course looked great yesterday. We talked all about all of that with Joe yesterday, but it looks like it's shaping up to be a big Derby week. Looking forward to it, and we appreciate your thoughts, and we'll be checking in again.
Absolutely. It's the greatest time of the year, Seth, and be sure to bet early and bet often. It's some great racing next week, and I'm really excited to fire at those windows.
Absolutely. Kev, appreciate it. And again, good luck to you and everybody down there. You can check out Kevin Horse Racing KK on Twitter and see some of those workouts and get some of his thoughts there as well. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Mike Welch from the Racing Forum, he's also been looking at some of the morning work, so we'll get some of his opinions right after this. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
It's that time of year.
Forte wins!
Angel of Empire wins the Arkansas Derby and wins it clear.
Practical Move has won
won the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby.
Join us on Wednesday, May 3rd at 7 p.m. for the annual Capital OTB Kentucky Derby Seminar. Streaming live on the Capital OTB YouTube channel and other social platforms, join Seth Merrill, Anthony Mormito, and the Brooklyn Cowboy Kevin Cox for a comprehensive look at this year's Kentucky Derby.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
It's in front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Brown. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. Of course, all summer long, he's up in Saratoga, and we plug him in up there and talking a lot about the works up there and the great workout report that the Racing Forum does, and then most of the rest of the year down at Gulfstream. But come Triple Crown season, he's watching the works at some of the Triple Crown venues, including the past week or so at Churchill. So I thought we'd get some of his thoughts. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
And you and I were talking before we went on the air, and speaking of workouts, there will be a Daily Racing Forum workout package coming up for Oaks and Derby, correct?
Yeah, there'll be two separate reports, one for the Oaks Day card and one for the Derby Day card.
And I'm also curious, it was opening night last night, and when I got in touch with you for coming on this morning, you said you were going to be watching some turf works. I'm just curious, what after racing last night and working out on the grass, what's the buzz on the turf course? It looks gorgeous, but have you heard any buzz from the horsemen?
Yeah, it looks gorgeous, and it's in tremendous shape. I've watched them work last week a couple of times. One day, they worked the day after some rain. No kickback. You could barely hear them getting over the course, nice and quiet. It was a they look like they've got it right this time, and it should be pristine for Derby Day, unlike last year when it was kind of boggy and looked like it, favored, if I believe it was the outside, pretty good on the turf on Derby Day last year. But it looks terrific right now.
Excellent. That's good news. All right, let's get some thoughts on some of the Derby workers. And obviously, top of the class is Forte. This is from yesterday. We're going to watch. Forte's going to be on the outside here. Give us your thoughts on the Forte work yesterday.
Well, yesterday's work was kind of a maintenance work, was an easy half mile. The horse he's working with, Bright Future, is a pretty good horse. He's only run three times, but he's won twice. And he kind of hangs with him and actually sticks his head in front of the gallop out. Forte's not the flashiest workhorse. His work with Bright Future last week maybe was definitely a little better. But of the four Todd has here, the other three, I'm probably impressed a little more in the morning, but I don't think that's anything to worry about. I think that's just how Forte is, and he just saves it for the afternoon, seemingly. So, he's doing fine. I wouldn't worry about how he's doing. I mean, the biggest issue with him is the price. He's going to probably be 5-2 in a 20-horse field. Yeah. Do you want to take that short a price in a race like this where so much can happen the trip-wise?
I will say, we were down there at your home base for the Florida Derby, and when Mays went by, I thought Forte is toast, and that was impressive to see him come back. As we walked out, though, and then subsequently on social media, I heard people, oh, no, that took too much out of him, so he's done for the Derby now. I'm not buying into that. He might not win, but I think he's going to show up on Saturday, certainly.
No, I do too. I mean, it's 5 weeks, and that's one thing why Todd likes the Florida Derby. It gives him an extra week over some of the other preps, and 2 weeks in some cases. I wouldn't worry about that. I thought it was a terrific effort considering the trip he had. I thought he was B2. Todd thought he was B2, and just so a testament to just how good he is to overcome that kind of a trip. I know his buyer number slipped down a little bit, but the sheet number guys. I probably went in the right direction because the they account for, you know, how wide he was around the turns. You know, I think he's just justifiable favorite. But again, do you want a short price? Do you think he's so much better than the others that you want to take 5-2 in this kind of a field where Tripp is so much a factor, more so even than the Florida Derby from that bad post potentially? But I think he's going to show up too. It's just a matter of showing up. If he gets a clean trip, if that's going to be good enough.
Yeah. Another horse that you tweeted out, and it seemed like you were impressed with the work, but we're going to watch Hit Show. Hit Show will be on the outside here, coming out of the second place finish in the Wood Memorial. I thought, given the situation, that Wood Memorial run was okay because they hadn't raced since the Withers. They didn't want to cut back in the Gotham. So, again, the second place finish, I think, sets up Hit Show nicely if you like that horse. But give us some thoughts on the work from Hit Show.
I mean, look, he's working well, and so is Verifying. I don't know if you're showing that. He worked right after Hit Show yesterday. He's been doing very, very well, too. I think of the preps, the Bluegrass was maybe the best of all the preps, and that would indicate Verifying would be a little bit better chance than Hit Show coming out of the Wood, which traditionally is not done well as a prep in the Derby, and it was won by a 50-1 shot, Lord Miles, so you got to maybe take that into consideration. Hit Show did come from a tough post and ran a big race. So, and he's doing well. I mean, his work last week was okay. He worked with Verifying. I thought Verifying was a little better last week. I thought Hit Show was a little bit better this week in his work, working outside horses. Last week he was inside Verifying. Of the two, I prefer Verifying, but both are training well.
We're going to take a look also. Angel of Empire comes in good fashion, winning the last two. I liked him in both of those. Got a little future wager, so I'm kind of liking him coming up this Saturday as well. Angel of Empire will be on the outside of Jace's Road. Thoughts on that workout yesterday?
Yeah, I thought he was very good. Out of the two, he's been better both last 2 weeks working with Jace's Road. I think he's working really well. I love the gallop out here. This horse is an improving horse. You look at his buyers every single race. His last five races, he's gone up. He went up 11 points, 4 points, 5 points. I don't know what he beat in Arkansas. That's the question, but I think this horse is doing well. He's going to probably be for sure in my top, I would say top three.
You talked a little bit about Tappet Trice a few minutes ago. We're going to take a look at that workout as well. And again, that's from yesterday, part of the Todd Pletcher contingent coming out of that Bluegrass you mentioned. Nice, gutsy win in that Bluegrass. Give us some thoughts on the Tappet Trice workout.
In the morning he catches your eye, probably as much or more so than anybody here that I've seen so far. And this is a horse that's getting better and better. He looks like he wants to go a mile and a quarter. The big problem with him is he's a little sluggish early from the gate, and that could be big trouble in a 20-horse field like it is in the Derby. If you could predict he's going to get a good trip, I would say he's going to win this race, but that's a big problem. He's going to be one my top pick or second choice, depending on the post. I think he definitely is going to want an outside post where he can stay in the clear and not, you know, if he breaks sluggish from an inside post, he could be in for a real rough ride. So I'm sure Todd agrees he's going to be crossing his fingers when the post position draw that this horse draws somewhere. Probably 10 and out, with at least 7 or 8 out, so Louis could kind of get him outside and out of trouble.
And I'd love your thoughts. I have a couple videos here of Derma Sotagaki. I have the workout outside of Continue Our last Wednesday, and then I have him yesterday where I'm not a workout guy, but it looked kind of funny yesterday. But these Japanese horses tend
that to... was not a work. Seth, that was not a work yesterday. They broke him out of the gate and pulled him right up.
Okay, that's what it looked like. So, but talk a little bit about, you know, what you've seen in the morning from Derma Sotagaki.
Well, he's out here for about an hour and a half every morning doing something or another. Mostly just out back in the chute, doing figure eights and jogging and walking around. It's hard for me to get a gauge on him. I don't know, you know, the quality of the horses he's been running against in Japan. His work the other day, because his workmate was so terrible, it made his work look better, perhaps better than it was. He came home in 22-4, but he was under a full-out drive like he was in a race. So you got to take that into consideration. He's a puzzle to me. If you want, it wouldn't surprise me if he ran 10th like most of the other Japanese horses in the Derby over the years. It wouldn't surprise me either. I don't know what to do with him. He's going to work one more time, so maybe it'll help make a final decision on, you know, what to throw him out or to include him in picks as we get forward closer to next week. But of the two, obviously, the two Japanese horses, obviously, he seems to be much the best.
And we watched a little bit earlier confidence game in the 59 workout, and we were talking to Kevin Kirstein from Churchill, and he said with that workout, maybe he's the horse that's getting a little buzz right now. Your thoughts on confidence game and that nice work?
Yeah, it was a good work, no doubt about it. He was a little rank early, went pretty quick down the backstretch and around the turn, and then settled in okay after that. My problem with him is he hasn't run since February.
Yeah.
And even when he did run, he hasn't been beyond a mile in the 16th. Now he's stretching to a mile and a quarter. Work-wise, he looked fine. He missed some training last weekend. He did not come out to the track for a few days. So I don't know what the issue was there. Good work, but not in my top picks.
I'll just ask you generally, anybody that has had a negative work that maybe turned you off a little bit?
Well, for sure, the one Japanese horse, you don't want any part of him, Continue R.
Yeah.
Look, for the most part, these are good horses. They're the best three-year-olds in the country, the best three-year-olds, you know, you could argue, in the world. And for the most part, they're going to work well. So I saw a tape of Two Fills. He was very good. I didn't like Lord Miles' last work down at Gulfstream that much, but he's going to be a long shot. Other than that, most of them seem to be doing well, you know, in one way or another as far as, you know, what your level of well is, but very few of them have given you any reason to you know, throw them out just off of workouts alone. We had Rocket Can work this morning too. He worked in blinkers again. He's going to run in blinkers. He worked fine. I just don't think he's good enough, but he's going to have blinkers on, and Sun Thunder will also have blinkers on, it looks like, for the Derby for the first time. You know, workout wise, they're doing fine, but I'm just not sure either of them are good enough.
And before I let you go, I have to ask you if you have somebody that may be floating under the radar, and I have to ask you because we had you on the Saturday or Sunday before the Breeders' Cup, and folks may remember you tossed out Blue Stripe, who just missed at 24-1 in the Distaff, and I'm wondering if you have anybody that may be a little bit clever to throw in the mix on Saturday.
I think one horse that was probably flying under the radar that's doing really well is Disarm for Steve Asimson. He doesn't really have a race on his form that can make you say he can win the Derby, but I just like the way he's coming into the race. His work was good. His gallops have been good. He's going to be a big price. Wouldn't it be ironic if Steve Asimson finally got his first Derby win with a horse that finished third at the Lexington? But I'm not sure he could win, but I think he's going to give a good account himself if he gets a good trip. I don't know where on the radar Two Fills stands right now, but he sure looked good working. I saw a tape of his last work at Hawthorne, and it was pretty impressive. I wish I had seen that here live in person, but, you know, you got to even consider him a little bit, and I'm sure he's going to be a bit of a price in here as well.
Yeah, Disarm is one that intrigues me also, and he sneaks in with the third place finish in the Lexington. Mike, really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a busy time, and appreciate your sneaking a few minutes in for us. Have a fun week, and we'll talk again.
Okie doke.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum, and again, they'll have a workout package for Oaks Day, a workout package for Derby Day, so you can check those out and maybe get a little info, which we'll cover more than the Oaks and the Derby. There'll be, because like I say, Mike was actually doing some turf workouts this morning as well. All right, we will take a break, and we'll come back and do, I think, some news and notes, and then we'll plug in Tony Kahlo, at just about 10:45. So we'll come back. Maybe we'll do a little handicapping, actually, and then head over to Tony for some early week thoughts on the Finger Lakes. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back. As promised before the break, we're plugging in Tony Kahlo to talk a little early week Finger Lakes. Tony, good morning.
Morning, Seth.
And opening week was last week. We talked to you last Sunday about the first couple of days. After a couple of days of racing, anything jump out? Any, is speed? I mean, at 4.5 furlongs, speed is always a premium. But handicapping wise, did anything jump out at you over the first couple of days?
Too much, to be honest. Already under her belt, and a lot of her competitors were on the comeback bid, and I thought she had a big advantage. And you know, she had kind of a brutal little trip, and when she scooted on through, she opened up and galloped out like a good thing, and I thought $6 was more than generous, and just kind of look for that. Otherwise, you know, look for the horses that have a lot of natural early speed that maybe have some past class to them. You know, Linda Dixon had a good couple the other day, and you know, those kind of things. I try to preach the foundation. That's what I like to go with early on in the season at Finger Lakes. Get the horses to have some races under their belt.
I do not disagree at all. I mean, going back in the day, the 4.5 furlongs, the card was mostly Finger Lakes horses who had been off since last season. But these days, you get horses coming up off some races down in New York and whatnot. And so, yeah, you look for some with maybe that fitness level that's maybe a little more advanced than some of the others who have been off for a while. All right,
there was another race on opening day. Michael Ferraro Jr. M. Anthony Ferraro. He had a shipper coming in from Tampa that had showed a lot of speed in a few races this winter. The horse had showed good speed against maiden 40s. It showed good speed in a turf dash. Showed good speed in a maiden special on the dirt. And boy, I thought that horse, I was doing my analysis, I think the name of the horse was D's Wise Guy, a gray horse. The horse was 3-1 during my analysis, went off at 9-5, and that was an absolute gift, too. There are a couple opportunities. You just have to kind of be a little patient and pick your spots. There's other situations. I saw on Twitter people were complaining about there was a horse, Chris Engelhardt, a trade named Atella, and the horse was even money in the gate and went off at 1-4. You know, that trend seems to be happening a lot in our business, which is unfortunate. It's too bad we couldn't get a grasp on that like some of the European and Asian racetracks have done.
Did you read the Financial Times article from a few weeks ago talking about the computer-assisted groups? If you haven't, check it out, because it is eye-opening.
You know, it really is. And, I've been playing the horses since I was a young kid. And, you know, I talk with experienced horse players around the country, and we all agree that it seems like it was a tad easier back in the day. Nowadays, we're up against so much. It's just the there's a lot of things working against us, and it'd be nice to get somewhat of a level playing field. You have to take your lumps. There are situations where horses do drift up, but there's more instances not when they're getting pounded real late, and it's just it gets a little discouraging. You know, there was the race, what was it, at Keeneland? That was the one that came under a lot of with the big horse from Europe that won the Breeders' Cup Mile, and the winner was double digits, and he goes off at 9-1. It's just unfortunate. You think you're making a score with a 20-1 shot, and then next thing you know, you're getting a $20 winner. I mean, quite a discrepancy in payoff.
And it's tough to explain to – I was talking to somebody here about this yesterday. Tough to explain to new people in the game who are used to sports betting when you got the line and you know what you're going to get, and to see a change like that. But again, if people haven't seen that Financial Times article, Andy Byer's quoted in there. So I think if you went to Google and typed in Financial Times – and Andy Byer, you'd find the article. It's 2 or 3 weeks old, but it really is kind of eye-opening.
Yeah,
After
the show, I'll go looking for it. If I run into the difficulties, I'll have you send me the link or something.
Yeah, it's worth a listen because it is eye-opening. But, again, there are the opportunities still out there, and for every horse that comes down, there are horses that are going up, and they don't win them all. So we'll see if we can come up with some ideas for the Tuesday card at the Finger Lakes, and let's kick things off. Look at race number 2, maiden specials going 4.5. And I will say I have some rooting interest in here because there's a homebred from Paul Matisse, Tumbles, who debuted just a couple of weeks ago down at Aqueduct for Matisse Racing, and we'll see what that one can do in here. But what are your thoughts in the second on Tuesday?
Well, that's who I was looking at. I was looking at Tumbles and Baby Dreams. Those will be my top two picks. You know, we talk about the racing recency. The foundation. I watched both of their replays this morning. Interesting. Tumbles is still a 2-year-old. She was born on May 3rd, so technically, when they do run the race, she is still a 2-year-old. But I saw that happen last week. Akella, who I mentioned earlier in the show, she was still a 2-year-old and was able to defeat Elders. I like Tumbles' debut run. I don't like the fact she's coming back quick. That's always something I'm a little concerned about. You know, you have a nice work tab leading up to the debut run, and now we're going to come back on 2 weeks rest. But, hey, I'll say this. At least it's 4.5. She gets the debut run under her belt. She gets LASIK. She does have, the thing I do like is she had some workouts over the Finger Lakes racetrack before she debuted, including the one in early April, which is a good-looking move, 48-1. I like the fact that she closed into a very, very soft pace. They went 22-4 and 47-2 and 101-1. And she's able to make up significant ground. She makes up 8 lengths from the quarter pole to the wire. I watched the replay, and it did not look like Kendrick was really asking her for a lot. So it was like they kind of wanted to get that one under her belt, in my opinion. And I think she could be primed. Baby Dreams is intriguing. She's a big, big girl. She's a 4-year-old. You know, it took her a long time to get to the races. She's an April foal and just debuted at late March. And she stayed on very nicely. The winner ran away in the final quarter of a mile. Baby Dreams chased her throughout. The thing I did like about Baby Dreams is she did not get discouraged. Sometimes I've noticed over the years horses who pursue eventual lengthy winners, like her debut run, they'll get a little discouraged and backpedal and not really tend to their business, give up second and third. That was not the case with Baby Dreams. With that being said, the pace was soft. So she had every reason to stick around. It's kind of why I've landed on Tumbles, because I like horses closing into slower paces, and perhaps she'll get a little pace to chase. Motley Sue is very intriguing because she's fast. I saw Chris with a horse last week coming in from Woodbine. I think her name was Amazing Dottie, and she only had 3 recorded workouts for the comeback bid, and boy, she won like a good thing. Never been on a fast track before and only had 3 recorded workouts. Chris has a way of fooling me a lot. I've got that California, growing up in California, watching California work tabs, Steady Eddie every 7 days, lots of drills, lots of foundation, and Chris can get his horses to run with very limited return drills. So Motley Sue is intriguing with her speed. And I always look at a Linda Dixon trainee. Linda has good, fast horses at young ages, and maybe Lieutenant's Legacy could be a little live also. It is worth noting that Heeman Harkey has opted for Baby Dreams over Lieutenant's Legacy will pick up Jackie Davis. Heeman was named on both of them for the overnight. But going to go with tumbles. I'm hoping the Matisse brothers are ready to strike at a price there.
Yeah, and I kind of like the angle. I mean, either way you look at this, they had the confidence to think, well, let's go down and win one in New York. Or they thought, let's get a start in New York and see what happens there. But then we have some fitness to come back a couple weeks later. Either angle, I think, is interesting. And as they say, always fun to root for Paul and Duke and the boys. And so we'll see what Tumbles can do in race two. Moving on to race number six on Tuesday, Maiden Specials, again, going the 4.5. What did you see in the sixth?
Yeah, I wanted to stick with these Maiden Special weight races. I like good quality. I try to go for the better purses. You know, a lot of the money's going to go with Lieutenant Sam, no question about it. Ran a very good race on the comeback on the 24th of April. I like the winner. The winner looked good winning. That was a Paul Barrow trainee that had been running this winter at Aqueduct. Superb surprise. That horse was very professional, and even though the final time wasn't much, I thought that horse looked good crossing the wire. So Lieutenant Sam's going to get a lot of play. Tyrannosaurus Rex had a good-looking stride. That horse made up a lot of ground. Didn't have the cleanest of trips. Has a lot of foundation in his corner. They're both coming back pretty quick, so... And they both had a lot of chances. A lot of times with these maiden special weight races, I like lesser experienced horses. So I'm going to land with Busting Credit, trying to upset here. I like Busting Stones. They all have natural speed. This one, I like the workout on the 22nd of April. That's a good-looking move for a horse. 48-1 out of the gate. Third best of 33. Looks like this horse had a couple of works to conclude November and then, you know, probably like any horse that's ready to debut, just had a couple of little hiccups. So Paul backed off, started the training, the workout regime again in the middle of February at Belmont. Been pretty good leading up to this one. I like the fact that two drills locally, the four-year-old horses that he's in against have had chances and haven't been able to get it done. Why not take a look at the first or Busting Credit in race six?
And the Dam Accrediting by Scarlet Ibis, who was kind of a prominent New York sire years and years ago. I always used to look at his offspring running. But the sire, Busting Credit, Busting Stones. And I will say, I was talking to Roddy Valente, the owner of Busting Stones, yesterday. He was right here in the clubhouse racebook watching another Busting Stones firster win for him. It was a homebred for Roddy, and I have it on the computer. Yesterday it was Miss Stones, and a week ago, Busting Lulu. Two first-time starters by Busting Stones. And, you know, we were talking about his sire. And if folks are looking for a New York bred sire at a bargain, Busting Stones is certainly one to take a close look at. So we'll see what this one can do. Busting Credit, the number 7 in race 6 on Tuesday. Go ahead.
Good mud blood, top and bottom, too. And we've got a lot of rain over the, you know, started yesterday. And, funny you bring up Roddy. Roddy's a great guy. He texts me pretty frequently since the pandemic. We've become pretty good little text buddies. And he texted me on Tuesday, and he's like, "Tony, I don't really like to give out horses before I even know they're in against, but I got one for you this weekend." And I was going to text you yesterday, but my loyalty to Roddy, I told him I wouldn't tell many people. You were probably already aware of it anyway.
Right.
And made a couple little dollars, paid for a couple more bets throughout the Saturday card yesterday.
Yeah, Roddy said he had spread the word a little bit because both of those, I guess, had been working together, and they were kind of twins. One would be ahead, one work, and the other would be ahead, and then one had a little bit of a hiccup, and the other one subsequently, a couple days later, came up with this. He said these two are very similar and proved to be beneficial on the racetrack as they both won first time out. All right, let's go to race number 7 on Tuesday. We are looking at a B-level claimer, 5 furlongs the trip. What did you see in the 7th?
Well, the 7th race is a little difficult. You know, everybody's on the comeback bid with the exception of the Charlestown horse, Super Gardner, who had a couple of races in February. And I know they're going to bet Super Gardner off the board. There's a horse who's made 3 appearances locally, 2 for 3. He's a win machine, 20 for 49 in his career. He's near 300K, the 9-year-old. Last 2 races have been a little uninspiring. You know, he moved up the class ladder significantly. Perhaps perhaps that's what it really comes down to, that 7-furlong race against open 40s at Aqueduct. That's probably a pretty salty spot for him, and 7 furlongs just might be a little too much distance. It's one thing to get 6.5 at Charlestown, then to go to Aqueduct and try to get 7. Came back at Charlestown, didn't run much in that 4.5. I know they're going to probably bet this horse off the board, and you probably have to beat him, but it just is against my just against who I am. I try to upset some of these horses, and a horse that I find intriguing is Give Me the Money. He's a 4-year-old. I think Mike Lassesi made a very nice claim on the 22nd of November. That was the first time this horse was in for 11, and Mike jumped at it. That was a good time. 110 and change. Waheel and Cape Cod Gem. Cape Cod Gem's a very fast horse. Waheel's a Paul Barrow trainee that I think is a nice little individual. You know, Give Me the Money ran some big races early on at Finger Lakes when he came to us from Parks. He looked good winning his first time out. He didn't beat much. There's Waheel in the company lines. Waheel was on the comeback bid. Production Credit is a Ralph D'Alessandro horse that was a stablemate to Give Me the Money at the time. Production Credit came back and ran second the other day for this 11 condition. Give Me the Money towered over him. Big 4-length win. Ran into a monster for Chris Englehart named Honor Among Men in late June. That horse was coming in from Southern Cal. No chance against him. Ran into Rotney, a Run Happy that just was off to a great start last year as a New York bred. Absolutely whistled in the Ontario County. And Give Me the Money ran a good second, so he gets himself stakes placed. Misses by a tough-nosed to Nutsy. Then he runs a tough-nosed to Our Man Mike. That was a great race. That race was just absolutely loaded with pace that day. Give Me the Money from the far outside. Boy, he did all the heavy lifting and did everything but put his nose down in time. Our Man Mike came from the depths of nowhere and tagged him late. What I'm getting at is this is a nice horse. I like the workout, 48-1. He gets to protect him. That's a beautiful thing here at Finger Lakes that, you know, and they've done this throughout the country, trying to reward owners that invest their money and can protect their horses for levels that they raced at 6 months ago or longer, so they don't have to worry about losing them. So they get to take advantage of the waiver. And here's a horse that Super Gardner's not up to it. Has enough speed to stay relatively close from his outside post. Has good mud blood, good record in the mud. I like this horse. I'm going to try to spring the upset. You know, you've got the other grizzled veteran, Anything Possible, who's a racehorse. Lugu does good work early in our season. I like the fact the horse has a 5-furlong workout. I think they're going to bet both of the old-timers. You know, Super Gardner's 9, Anything Possible's 8. How about the youngster in this field with the fresh legs? And a horse that I think has a lot of ability. Give Me the Money. He'll be my top pick in race 7.
I like it. As you were talking about it, I was looking, and as you talked about Super Garner, I said, you're absolutely right. I mean, you go 3 back and you see that 80 buyer and you see the early speed, people will hop on board that horse. But off the last couple, this is no sure thing by any means. But Give Me the Money is one of those that you have to read the minds a little bit. It go beyond what is on the page necessarily as far as the numbers. And you have to say, you know what? They picked up this horse as a 3-year-old last year, had been racing an allowance company, had that stakes try behind Rotney that was pretty good, ran second, you know, well beaten, but ran second. But then they dropped in for a tag. And these connections, Lassesi is part owner too. So they jumped in and took a horse at the very end of the season. So they had to know, we got something coming up. We'll have a nice 4-year-old. And then, as you say, now they come back for the waiver, which gives them another chance to take a shot at this 11 claiming level where they won in that last start. So I like your thinking there on Give Me the Money.
This is a horse that, in my opinion, will win the first state bred condition this season here at Finger Lakes. You know, for all of our fans listening in right now, if you don't know a lot about Finger Lakes racing, just trust me. This horse has incredible company lines. Like I said, Honor Among Men, Rotney, Our Man Mike. There's Zircon. Zircon is a Chris Prognol horse that has a tremendous amount of talent. Nutsy's a pretty decent horse for the Niz and Torelli. The Dave Trap the Dream one, there's Victory Built. Victory Built is a very, very fast horse. They went crazy that day. They went 22-2, and I know it doesn't look like it was, but I'm telling you, that was an animated pace that afternoon. Entrap the Dream, Launch from Nowhere. There's Victory Built in the Institute. There's Civil Service, Dock Advantage, Breaking Stones for Roddy Valente. This horse has great company lines. I like this horse. He's a horse that I might actually put a couple dollars on. Or, you know, he'd be a nice little horse to try to keep. Because I could see him being the third choice in this race.
I'm right with you. I'm looking at that one very seriously now for Tuesday. And, again, Tuesday, we'll wrap it up taking a look at the 8th on Tuesday, $9,000 to $11,000 maiden claimers going the 4.5. What did you see in the Tuesday finale?
Well, you know, you're going to have to beat the Rapoli horse. There's no question about it. That connection. Here's the horse who was good enough to have the lead turning for home against State Bred 25s on the 24th of March. Debut run, he's right there. Or she's right there, excuse me. She's right there pushing the action. She comes back with workouts. I can't fault anybody who's going to try to go with her. I'm going to try to spring a little bit of an upset here. Easy Toll's a filly that I'm going to kind of keep a little eye. I would obviously use Bad Connection in any pick six, pick five, pick four, but for a price, Easy Toll, I like the fact she has 5 recorded workouts. You know, a lot of times at Finger Lakes early on to start the season, horses will get rushed into action with only 2 or 3 workouts, and the mindset is let's get a race in them. That's equivalent to 3 or 4 works. Why waste another 2 or 3 workouts when we can try to pick up a paycheck? Not the case here. This one, 5 recorded workouts, including a 48-1. In fact, I like the fact that both of the initial workouts were on the quicker side. Kind of gave Jim Aquilano, hey, you know what? I kind of know what I have here. Now I can just put some nice steady Eddie maintenance moves into her. He thought enough to take her for 11. The dam made a boatload of money. I just looked up her record. She was a runner. 68 starts. 15 wins, 483,000. She ran second in her debut at Aqueduct or Belmont. I can't recall which one. Won her second start. Ended up winning a race at Saratoga. You know, all those races. Why not try to spring a little bit of an upset? One thing about Bad Connection is, you know, here's a horse who falters. And I know it's against Superior. And she's the horse to beat. No question about it. But if you get into a repeated pattern of betting horses who continually falter from furlong to furlong, and then you're going to take a short price, it's a good way to diminish the bankroll and find yourself going from a $20 win better to a $2 win better in a hurry. So I'm going to take a shot with Easy Toll. A little bit of an upset. I thought there were a couple other ones that were somewhat intriguing. I didn't know what to make of the Turf Paradise horse. There's a horse who has all winter foundation, including a recent 7.5 furlong race. You'd have to think that race on a wet, fast racetrack, 3 back going 5.5 furlongs. Wait, that could be somewhat fairly competitive in this spot. Picks up John Davila Jr. I don't really know a lot about the trainer, and I spent some time in Turf Paradise. I'm unfamiliar with the connections, but the fact that John sees fit to ride and all this foundation, good Kentucky blood, we miss Artie out of a hard-spun mare. I could see that horse making a little bit of a noise. Give a little look to that one. Another horse I thought that had a little bit of ability last year was Frankie C, but she only has 2 recorded workouts, and she could be prepping for something a little bit later, but I did like some of her races, but I'd put her in the 4th spot. Easy Toll trying to spring the upset, but I have to admit that's her Paradise horse I'm finding intriguing. And then I didn't even know what to do with Maya's horse. Maya's horse hasn't shown much, but he's always dangerous at Finger Lakes. But from an upset standpoint, Easy Toll and the Turf Paradise horse, I find them both a little intriguing. You can get either one in beating the Sad Connection. You're going to get rewarded with a good number.
Yeah, the Turf Paradise horse coming in off work most recently at Mountaineer, which is kind of Turf Paradise to Mountaineer to Finger Lakes. So that one, just on that, is a little bit intriguing. Tony, before we let you go,
kind of sounds like Chip Woolley and Mind That Bird, Sunland Park, hitch up the trailer and head on to Churchill Downs.
Right. Speaking of Churchill and the Derby, before we let you go, got to ask if you have any Derby thoughts. We were talking Derby all week. We had Joe Kristofek, and earlier today, Kevin Kirstein from Churchill. We just talked to Mike Welch a few minutes ago, so we were getting thoughts on the workouts, and certainly Forte taking a lot of buzz, and Tap It Trice in the mix. We talked to Mike, and I said, anybody that maybe is under the radar a little bit, and he brought up a horse that kind of caught my eye earlier this week with a workout. Disarm, I think, is a little bit interesting. Any clever Derby thoughts?
Well, you know, it's funny, Seth. You texted me. You said you were moving me back from 10:20 to 10:45. Now you just mentioned three big names. Now I know why I got pushed back. I guess me and my agent are lucky. We even got some airtime this morning with those heavy hitters. Holy Toledo! You know, disarmed after when he ran in the Louisiana Derby, I tweeted saying that I thought he was a fairly intriguing Kentucky Derby prospect. Then, unfortunately, they bring him back quick and run into Lexington, and I stuck with my bet. I bet him went in place, and he ran third for me. You know, he looked good working out the other last week, but, boy, it's a lot to ask of a horse. And, you know, after Hofburg, after Soup and Sandwich, I've kind of told myself that I have to be careful with these N2Ls and N3Ls. And I always find myself going to one of them. And Disarm was in that mix for a long time, but I'm kind of jumping off of him. Mage fits the bill for my every year I got to find an N2L. Here's a horse eligible for a non-winners of two lifetime that I think can win the Kentucky Derby. So here's my long shot. I think this year is wide open. I mean, I think you have to use a lot of horses. Obviously, you have to use the champ. The horse that I'm intrigued with is Angel of Empire.
Yeah.
And I know everybody says that his buyers aren't quick enough, his Thorograph sheet numbers aren't quick enough, his rags, whatever, they're all not quick enough. But here's a big, strong horse with lengthy legs that can sustain a run for quite some time. And with a field of 20, you need a horse that can sustain a charge. And, you know, my girlfriend's a PA bred. Angel of Empire's a PA bred. Why not? That's going to be probably the horse that I'm going to be leaning on.
That's what Kevin Kirstein said earlier. He's a PA bred, so he's got to stick with the clan. And he was liking a little Angel of Empire, too.
It was funny. I was talking with my girlfriend, and I told her about Angel of Empire, and then she went and did some research, and apparently he was bred on a farm fairly close to Penn National, which is about 30 minutes or so from where my girlfriend lives. So that's pretty cool. That got her a little exciting, and I think she's kind of jumping on him too. And I'll tell you what, he's looked good. His gallop out was strong yesterday. You know, the whole question with this year's Derby, Seth, is the pace scenario. And
yeah,
ever since they've gone to this Kentucky Derby point system, we always question what kind of pace we're going to get. Back in the old days, you know, you'd get the groovies, the trippies, you'd get them all in there, the fast horses that you know couldn't go a mile and a quarter. And we'll see what happens. Now, last year, the Japanese horse threw a little monkey in the wrench there, gunning hard, and that really set up a fast pace. I think Brad has enough horses, including Jace's Road, who Angel of Empire worked with yesterday, that can ensure the pace is quick enough. So I'm gonna hope we'll see what kind of post position we draw, and that's the horse I'm leaning toward.
I like Angel of Empire, certainly. I have a little future pool. I mentioned that earlier. But I will note, and you'll appreciate this, you've been around nearly as long as I have, on the dosage, I looked it up the other day, and back in the day, I think it was potent and important, that dosage, you wanted the number below four. Well, in this year's Derby, there's only two horses that are above four, and Angel Empire is one of them with a 9 on the dosage index. So that may be a little bit leery, except for the fact that I think over the last probably at least 15 years, that has kind of fallen out of favor, and so I'm not going to let it dissuade
me. The number's that high, huh?
Yeah, which was kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's a high number. Oh, huh. Well, you know what? He's going to be my pick as of right now.
Yeah, I'm
air,
not dissuaded.
So we'll just go with it. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, I will be using multiple horses on all of my tickets, that's
yeah,
for sure.
It is, I think, going to be a fun day with the opportunity to make some big bucks. Certainly looking forward to it. And I imagine probably a big day out there with the simulcast crowd.
Yeah, I would. I think last year we had some big numbers. I have myself committed to some friends. We're having a little Kentucky Derby party. My friends that you met in the paddock many years, Saratoga, David, and Noel. Noel runs Windback Farms up there in Walden, New York, and so it's always great to get there and see all the mamas with the babies on the farm. And so that's where I'm headed for the Derby. But I will assume we're going to have specials. We're going to be open on Friday for early Gates open early Friday, 10:15. Saturday, we're opening up at 10 a.m. Of course, we'll have advanced wagering on the Derby Friday, maybe even on Thursday. Saturday, we're going to have mint julep special. So all of our fans that are right here in the Rochester area, you know where you want to be to come and make your bets for the Kentucky Derby right here at Finger Lakes Gaming and Racetrack.
Yeah, everybody does well. Here at the Clubhouse Racebook, we're already taking reservations and whatnot. We always get a full house, and all the venues do. Whether there's live racing that day or not, everybody shows up to play the Derby. And the funny thing is, even if it's simulcast location, you know, you look at pictures from the local newspapers of that day, and they still show up dressed to the nines and the hats, and regardless of wherever it is, people get into the spirit, and this year I'm sure will be no different. Tony, speaking of getting into the spirit, we'll get into the Finger Lakes spirit with a Tuesday card this week. We appreciate your thoughts, and we'll talk again next week.
Awesome, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. Tony Kahlo from the Finger Lakes, again, looking at a little bit of the Tuesday action at the Flakes. Also, got some Derby thoughts from him because we have to talk a little bit Derby all weekend long, which we have been doing. Hopefully, we tossed out some interesting ideas with our looks at some of the works over the past, you know, week or so, and particularly yesterday morning, a lot of the important works with Kevin Kirstein and Mike Welch as well. So hopefully you enjoyed today's show, and now we will send it off into or head towards the afternoon. I'm looking at some of the simulcast signals, and you know, with the daylight being what it is, everybody's starting a little bit later now, so be a little bit before the pregame show in New York. This afternoon, we'll be back, you know, an hour and a half or so to kick things off for Sunday afternoon, OTB Live. I'm going to throw some harness into the mix. There's no Keeneland, and Churchill kicked off the meet last night, but they're not back until Tuesday, so there's no Churchill in the mix otherwise, so I'm going to take a look at some Aqueduct and some Oaklawn and some Saratoga harness today. So stay tuned for all that. Should be a fun Sunday afternoon. Otherwise, once again, really appreciate your tuning in and watching the show. And I continue to say it, and I'll advise people again, you can always catch the replay. If you missed the show, you can catch the replay on the Capital OTB YouTube channel. And if you do go and watch via the YouTube channel, click on the subscribe button, click on the like button. That just helps move us up search results and whatnot and gets more eyeballs on the product, which is always beneficial to everybody, helps the game. So again, if you do go over to YouTube, you know, you missed the show some morning and go back, watch the replay on YouTube, click subscribe and like, and we would appreciate that. Otherwise, I'm wrapping it up for Sunday morning. Seth Meyer in the studio, thanks again for joining us. Be back in, as I say, about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. We'll see you then.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.